Good morning.
Good morning.
We've been doing, please be seated. We've been doing morsels and stories for a while now, and I've been enjoying it, but I was looking back over what we've done so far, and I realized we've done a lot of morsels, and it might be time to start doing more stories. So this morning, I'm going to read you a story. It's from a book called Does God Have a Big Toe? It's a great title. And the author, if you read the introduction, says that the best way to understand stories, especially stories that we have told a lot, is to tell another story about them. So this story in particular is a story about a story from Exodus 20. Now, I'm sure you all understand that as easily as I do. It's from part of the Ten Commandments. And that will make more sense once we're done. I know you wish you could have lived in the Garden of Eden. I know. Great weather, no problems, good food, and water that doesn't taste funny. But believe me when I tell you that the Garden of Eden was no piece of cake, because Adam lived there, and Adam was a list maker. In fact, Adam was the worst list maker in all of time. The elephant woke up one morning to find his trunk stuck through a huge leaf on which Adam had written in berry ink, "Elephant list for the day. Dump all the broken branches outside the garden, house down the dirty dishes, squash some coconuts for lunch." The monkey woke up to find a banana peel tied around its tail, on which Adam had written in berry ink, "Monkey list for today. Dump the rotten fruit outside the garden, pick bananas for supper. Don't eat the bananas you pick for supper." Come morning, almost every animal woke up with a list. And all day long, Adam would scurry around checking up on the animals and pestering them to see how they were coming with their lists. One day, the animals got together and said to God, "This guy Adam is such a pest. Can't you move us out of here? Or better yet, can't you move him out of here?" God said, "Wait for the Sabbath. There are no lists on the Sabbath." On the morning of the seventh day, Adam woke up bright and early to make his lists. He went to get his berry ink pot to write out a list for the elephant, but the ink was dry. "No problem," said Adam. "I will just go out and pick some more berries for the inkwell." But when Adam came to the berry patch, all the berries were gone. "I bet this is the work of the monkey," Adam complained. "But not to worry. I will scratch out my lists for all the animals in the sand on the beach." Adam took a stick and started writing lists in the wet sand. But a wave came along and erased all the lists. Adam thought that this was very strange, because the Garden of Eden was near a river. He had never before seen a wave that big in the river. So Adam sat down to rest, and he felt good just resting. Then the monkey came by. "No lists on the Sabbath," he chirped. The elephant came by and trumpeted, "No lists on the Sabbath." And the animals all wished Adam a good day of rest. The end. Jesus doesn't tell us a story this morning. He does something else. And I don't know if you've thought about this, but he does something really huge. Before we get to that, let's ponder for a second how long God has been in the bread business. So that's really what this morning is about, and that's really what we've been doing as a church for, 2,000 years or so now. Bread. We share bread every Sunday. But God has been doing this for a little bit longer. Jesus references one of the earlier examples this morning. It's says, your ancestors ate manna in the desert. And we remember, as Jesus' audience would have remembered, that when Israel left Egypt and complained to God, one of the times, they did a lot of it, then they were going to starve in the desert. God said, I'll give you manna. You'll look out in the morning and there will be bread for you to eat for the day. You can gather just enough for that day, except for the day before the Sabbath, when you can gather enough for 2 days. And there was bread for the people of Israel the whole time they were in the desert, for 40 long years. It's a lot of manna. I think we remember that one more easily. But if you read through the prophets, which is a fabulous, if somewhat dry at times, thing to do, you'll notice that every now and then the prophet of God winds up in a tough spot. Okay, many times the prophet of God winds up in a tough spot. And usually, or at least frequently, they're out somewhere in the desert alone, and they have a little oat cake, a little sort of tea biscuit, a little piece of bread, and they're convinced they're going to starve to death. Now, God clearly likes tea biscuits, because he always makes sure they multiply enough so that the prophet never starves to death. God has been in this bread business for a very long time. If you look just before what we read today in John 6, you read one of the accounts of so many people following Jesus for so long that the disciples are convinced they have to send them away before they starve. And in this account, Jesus looks at his disciples and says, it'll be fine. I'm sure we've got something. And someone, probably feeling a little stupid, raises their hand and says, well, there's this kid and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish, but that's not enough. There's 5,000 people here. And Jesus says, it will be fine. And after he blesses the bread and breaks it, the people eat and the disciples gather up baskets of extra bread. God has been doing this bread thing for a very long time. And this morning, Jesus does something weird with that history. The people of God, we should know that there will always be enough, more than enough. And Jesus says that's no longer the most important thing. I am the bread of life. It's a strange statement because clearly he's a person and then he's God's son, so he's a little bit more than a person. But he's really convinced that this is something. Because I am the bread of life. And in doing that, he inserts himself into this long history of God making bread, more than enough bread for everyone. Maybe, being God's son, he understood everything. Maybe, being a little desperate to get the disciples to understand, he reached for a really simple phrase in the hopes that someday they would get it. I don't know. But what I do know is in claiming that title for himself, Jesus opens something up for us. The Christian church has been in the bread business for not quite as long as God, but since our very earliest days. We have known that it was important to gather together and to eat. At times, those were probably real meals, and there was bread that was blessed and broken and shared. We've sort of stylized that to make it a little easier, a little neater, a little more Anglican, perhaps. But we still know that there's something important about coming together, looking at the other people who love you because God loves you, of breaking bread, of listening to our stories and telling others about our week. Jesus makes a claim this morning. He says he is the bread of life. And the good news for us in that is we don't have to fill that role. Jesus will take care of that, just as God and Jesus have always taken care of God's people. Our job is to show up. Our job is to come to the table, to put our hands out, and to be reminded that we're part of the people of God. To be reminded that in showing up, in asking, in hoping, that we are God's beloved children. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Unless you've had a bad day or an impossible week. And then the greatest act of faith sometimes that we can do is showing up and coming to the table and asking others to help us remember that we are God's beloved children. Because that's a really big title to claim, isn't it? There's implications for how we have to treat ourselves. There's implications for how we have to treat all of the other people around us. Because if God can love me, then God can almost certainly love you. The good news. We've been practicing this for 2,000 years. God wants us to show up. God wants us to listen when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." God wants us to come and remember and hope and try to believe that this week, whether we're having a good week and it's easy, or we're having a bad week and it's hard, that we are God's beloved children, because we are, every one of us. Amen.